Good morning once again. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. One verse for us this morning, but we will be going to several others. 1 John being one of them. But we are going to be looking at John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8. Verse 12, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. God, indeed, we would ask this morning that you would shine your light upon us. We would pray, and we do pray this morning, that we would worship the light of this world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God, I pray you would help me to speak your truth as you would have me to. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a saying, it's in Latin, post tenebras lux, which means after darkness, light. It was one of the mottos of the Reformation. For way too long, the gospel was eclipsed by traditions of man. Darkness dominated the horizon in the 14th and 15th centuries. But God raised up men to be bright lights in a dark time. Men such as John Wycliffe, who was a pre-reformer, and he was known as the morning star of the Reformation. Then later on in 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 Theses against the Roman Catholic practice of selling indulgences to the door in Wittenberg, Germany on October 31st, 1517. That indeed was a spark, a light, and gave light to the Protestant Reformation. But over 1,000 years earlier, there was darkness in Israel, darkness in the temple. The blind leading the blind. And then Jesus came, the light of the world, to shine light in a dark place. Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. A major discourse begins in verse 12 and continues on throughout the end of the chapter. Right at the Feast of Tabernacles, or right after the Feast of Tabernacles, we have here Jesus giving another I am statement. And if we remember, as we studied, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, this in the Greek, the ego, eimi, I am, a statement referring back to Exodus, referring back to when Yahweh spoke to Moses, and he said, I am. So several I ams in the Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the door of the sheep, says Jesus. These are all his sayings, his statements. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine. And here I am the light of the world, he says. And with most, if not all, of these statements, there demands a response, a responsibility from those who are listening, a responsibility from for those today. Examples, when Jesus says, I am the door, he also says after, if anyone enters through me, he will be saved. So there's the responsibility, there's the action one must take to enter through Christ. He also says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me or remains in me will bear much fruit. And here, where we find ourselves this morning in John chapter 8, verse 12, I am the light of the world, he says. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Present tense, ongoing tense. It's a participle. He who follows me, says Jesus. Continual action. Continually following Christ. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see the word darkness and we see the word light numerous times. I encourage you to do a word study on that. We find darkness oftentimes to describe judgment, depravity, evil, wickedness, and light to describe truth and righteousness. In order to appreciate light, we must understand darkness. So we have first and foremost the oppression of darkness. The oppression of darkness. Ephesians 5:8 tells us we were formerly darkness. Anyone who is a born-again Christian in this room was darkness before you were made light by Jesus Christ. You were darkness, past tense. That's what described you and described me. Darkness, spiritually, morally corrupt, totally, completely depraved, futile in mind, blind spiritually, and corrupt inwardly. To be darkness is to have a heart as hard as a rock that is unable to be penetrated by any tool or resource of man. In Genesis 6:5, it says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Job 15, verse 16, speaks of detestable, corrupt, drinking iniquity like water. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, "Futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Every function of unrighteous, unregenerate man in regard to the things of the Lord are defunct, dead, disabled spiritually. All parts of unregenerate men is darkness. As Romans tells us, I'll just read it for you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, "For the mind is set on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." So there is an inward darkness, and there is also an outward darkness. The inward darkness speaks of the depraved mind, the corruption inwardly, the darkened mind, unable to perceive nor to receive the truth of salvation. John Brown of Haddington said, "All of the powers of the accursed soul are dead while it lives. The eyes of the understanding are shut and as it were glazed in a ghastly manner. Every spiritual sense is locked up, and all within is cold and stiff as a stone." This darkness affects the mind in a devastating and destructive way. It is quite appalling. It is quite shocking, actually, considering what unregenerate man is capable of. The thinking of man is futile and foolish in spiritual things. The Scripture speaks on this over and over again. I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at a Scripture in chapter 5 as well. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. Paul says, "So this I say to you in verse 17, and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened," there's that word again, "being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. And then chapter 5, verse 8, there's the scripture that says, you were formerly darkness, Christian, but now you are light in the Lord. So therefore, walk as children of light. It is a complete oxymoron to say a child of God walks in darkness. The scripture says something quite contrast to that. Jesus says, whoever follows him will not walk in darkness. It's quite incredible today when we consider how many experts are out there today to tell us what we need for our soul, what we need to remedy this or remedy that, these self-proclaimed experts. We have psychological experts that say, this is what's wrong with man. Medical experts say, do this and you shall live, or do this and you shall live longer. And then there's political experts who say, follow me. And then there is religious experts who lead people down roads that are astray, lead people astray. It's quite incredible how much stock people place in self-proclaimed experts today. The most intelligent people who ever lived in complete and utter spiritual darkness and foolishness if they rejected Jesus Christ. And they would seek today to lead you and to lead me into darkness as well. So there is the inward darkness of man without Christ. And then there is also the outward darkness as well. Not only is a person without Christ described as darkness, they also walked in darkness. Those without Christ walk continually in darkness. They live in darkness because the world is darkness and the ruler of this world is darkness. John chapter 3, verse 19 says this. Jesus says, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. And then Ephesians 2, I'm right here, so I'm going to go there. Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, Christian, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the evil one, Satan himself, the ruler of darkness, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly walked, lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, the God, lowercase g, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. So man without Jesus Christ is enslaved to darkness by being dead in his trespasses and sins. Also deceived and enslaved by the prince of darkness, Satan himself, and delivered over and dramatically driven by the darkness that is found in this world. So there is the inward darkness and the outward darkness. The world was not created for darkness. It was darkened because of sin. And the Holy Spirit removes the inward darkness by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts 26, verse 18, I'll read it for you. Paul's defense before Agrippa. He was sent to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, so that the lost would not be in darkness anymore, but would be transferred to light and from the dominion of Satan to God. Let's not be unclear of how the scripture speaks of someone without Christ. Someone who is not in the kingdom of God is indeed in the kingdom of Satan. So that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So we have inward darkness and there's the outward darkness. And the remedy for this darkness is the gospel of Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit illuminates one's mind and one's heart in regeneration. So there's the oppressiveness of darkness. Oftentimes we use that vernacular, or they're just walking in darkness right now, or they're in a dark place. Indeed, that is true spiritually of those without Christ. It was for us without the Lord before He saved us. So there is the oppression of darkness, and then there is the opposition of darkness. The opposition to darkness is light, the light of the world. We noted before in our study in John 7, the Feast of Tabernacles, there was the water pouring ceremony to celebrate and remember the provision of God providing water in Exodus. And then Jesus stood up and He said, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink." He was the one, He was living water. All who were spiritually parched and dry and dead could come to Him and drink. That was the invitation. And He said that in the midst of this water pouring ceremony or around that time. Now, during the Festival of Lights, the people were celebrating and remembering that they were guided by a pillar of light in the Old Testament, in Exodus. As it says in Exodus 13, 21, "The Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light." So as they were celebrating and remembering this, the light, as they knew the Old Testament, Jesus stood and proclaimed, and He said, "I am the light of the world. And he who follows me will not walk in darkness." Through the prophet Isaiah, God said this concerning the coming Messiah in chapter 42, "I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes." And in chapter 49, "I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." So here in John from chapter 1 through chapter 12, we find the light referring to Jesus Christ approximately 20 times. The light. What we do not find is Jesus being called a light. We find Jesus proclaiming that He is the light. And John, the gospel writer, calling Jesus the light in John and in 1 John. Not a light, the light. We find light in the Old and New Testament as imagery to define who God is. We better understand God's immutability. when God is characterized or described as light. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all, says 1 John. Glad someone's awake this morning. No variation, no shifting shadow, says the book of James. As Thomas Watson said, there is no eclipse of His brightness. Do we believe this, and do we walk like this, brothers and sisters? Or do we come here on Sunday, and do we walk in this world as if we're not led by the light, but that we are led by darkness? Some of you have a commute all day long from here to there, and you have the blessings at your hand to be able to listen to light through sermons and lectures rather than garbage and darkness. Use what the Lord has given you. He was the light of men, the true light, the light that shines in the darkness. David says, as we should say, the Lord is my light. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, He is saying, I am God. Let no one tell you Jesus never claimed divinity. He did it over and over and over again. Because He is God. I am the light of the world, He says. Therefore, the response must be, follow Him. The open door, third point, the open door out of darkness. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The true light has come into the world, enlightening every man, meaning every man responsible, every man culpable to responding to the light of the world. He who follows Christ will not walk in darkness. There must be a response to the call that Jesus gives. Only those who follow Christ are delivered from darkness. We all know those who say that they're Christian, and yet they walk in darkness. And then we're judged when we point out things to them, or we're called judgmental when we say your life does not add up to what you're saying. What we see today is people who say that they're Christians and yet don't go to church. The whole world is in darkness. Only those who follow Jesus continually, wholeheartedly, discipleship, can say, He has delivered me from darkness and transferred me into the kingdom of light. Ask yourself honestly this morning, am I walking in darkness or am I walking in the light? Is there things in your life, Christian, this morning that causes you, practically speaking, that causes you to walk in darkness throughout the week? It's time to cut that out of your life. You must be violent with the sin that entraps you. When I say violent, spiritually speaking, seek to cut off the hand, pluck out the eye. Jesus says, the one who follows Him will not walk in darkness. Remember, so to summarize a bit, we were darkness. It's who we were. Spiritually corrupt, morally depraved. Now, as a Christian, we could say that past tense. Those who are not in Christ, you are darkness. Still. We walked the way of the world. We walked in darkness. So we were darkness, we walked in darkness, and we were enslaved to darkness because we were enslaved to the wicked one himself. John gives the characteristics of walking in darkness. Go to 1 John with me, please. 1 John, the open door out of darkness. When someone's new walking with the Lord, I tell them to go to the Gospel of John and just read it, or read Romans. And when someone is struggling with if they are a Christian or not, or they're struggling with their salvation, I point them to 1 John to read and go over. 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. John gives us characteristics of walking in darkness. This is the message, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So pausing there for a moment, this is a description of someone saying one thing, but their life says something else. The scripture calls them right here that they're lying. They are a liar. That's who they are. Not a follower of the light, not a follower of Christ. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Living a life that reflects Christ, living a life that reflects the holiness of God. And in verse 8, describes one who is walking with Christ. Or verse 9, rather. But verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. And verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Describing one who is walking in the light, following the light of the world. The light shines in a darkened heart. And that person, their heart is exposed. And they confess their sin before God. And he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So one who is battling out sin in their life, as all of us Christians do, we battle out the remaining sin in us, the indwelling sin that seeks to creeps up and that seeks to weigh us down, that we battle with. That's one thing, to battle with sin, to kill sin, to make victory over sin, to be tempted by sin, to deny it, and then to sin, and to be so distraught over it. That's quite a different story than someone walking in darkness, like walking through the daisies and saying, I'm fine spiritually. Another characteristic of walking in darkness is found in chapter 2, verse 1 John. In verse 9, the one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light. There is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Saying one thing, the heart says another. Hatred, ongoing, present, active, a murderer in heart. A violator of the commandments, a violation, sinning what Jesus said about the heart of man. Anger, unrepented anger, hating your brother, He is still in darkness and not in the light. Yet the one who follows Jesus will have the light of life. Ongoing light of life. Eternal life and fellowship with God in this age and in the age to come. When Christ shines His light in our hearts and leads us out of darkness, He makes us lights in this world. He calls us lights. He says in Matthew that you, Christian, are the light of the world. Obviously not the same as Jesus, the light of the world, divine deity. But He leaves us here as the light of the world. So we are to let our light shine brightly before men. And He gives us His Word, a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. There's no excuse for us as Christians to walk in darkness. When we have the light of life, and we have the Word of God, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And I'll add to that, practically, that He's given us technological advances. We have sermon audio with us, Ligonier, whatever it may be. Hymns as we go along. And we remain in a dark world. And I don't have to tell anyone that here. It is obvious. And it seems to grow darker and darker and darker. But He has made us lights to shine brightly here, now, today. We recently got 4 new baby chickens. They were like 2 days old when we got them. And they have to stay under a bright light at all times. A heat, warming light. But it's bright and it shines on them. And you turn it off and they don't know what to do with themselves. They go and hide in the corner. And you turn the light on and they're rejoicing. They're running around and they stay close to the light. We need to stay close to the light of the world. I could be wrong, but it's going to get darker and darker. My perspective. And not all will follow the light of the world. Most indeed will not. For those who shun the light and refuse Jesus' offer of eternal life will be cast into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. An old contemporary worship song I remember from the early 2000s. I got saved in 2004. I think it was 2005. And I remember this man who used to sing it with his acoustic guitar, and I try to find it, and Chris Tomlin sang it as well. It goes like this, and I won't sing it, so. But it has tremendous theology, I think, in just a few words. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes. Let me see. Beauty that makes this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. So therefore, here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you are my God. Do you say that this morning? Is Jesus your King? Your Lord, your Savior. I'm going to pray and then we're going to transition to communion. I'll go and minister communion after I'm finished reading, after I pray. Father, that you would impress these things on our hearts and on our minds. The light of the world has come, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And those of us in here who are followers of him will not walk in darkness, and we have the light of life. We have so much to rejoice over because of you and what you have done in our lives. What a Savior. What a God you are. In Jesus' name, amen.